Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS, that's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, hello, Quinn. I'm so excited to have you join us today and share your journey. I know it's been a long one and a rough one. So thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We need people like you to share their story so the listeners out there can hear how much destitute we're in, and then see us go through and make it out on the other side and share our journeys to help them along the way. So thank you.
Absolutely. Scary place to be, that's for sure.
Definitely. So where do you want to start? What were you doing when you got sick? Do you remember the bite? Did you get a bullseye rash?
I don't have any recollection of a bite. My mom doesn't remember me getting bit as a kid. So I had no idea. I just had some symptoms in my early 20s with joint swelling and joint pain and brain fog. Pretty typical symptoms without the bullseye. Okay. And they diagnosed me with lupus. So then they said that I had lupus, and that went on for about 10 years with them treating me as a lupus patient.
Wow.
So you were on things like biologics to control, you know, the autoimmune condition. Did you have elevated ANA, or did they just kind of look at symptoms, think, oh, this looks like lupus, even though it's ANA negative?
Clinical lupus is what they called it.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess we don't really know, so that's what we're going to call it. Oh, and fibromyalgia. They always say that. So, the fibromyalgia and lupus is what I was diagnosed with. But I wasn't getting better. You know, I was getting worse. So it was puzzling to everybody. And then I started having some brain issues because now I know a whole lot more than I knew back then. So back then, the house that I was living in had mold in the basement, but because I didn't know that it was going to make me that sick. So then I went into psychosis twice and I was hospitalized. Still never put it together. I was still just the lupus patient with a, you know, in psychosis. Nobody ever mentioned Lyme to me, ever. Never asked, never, it was never brought up, ever. Wow. And then, again, came out of that, I still was just, I had all of the same symptoms, but then now I had the brain symptoms as well, the anxiety and the depression. And a lot of that, I think, was from the unknown. you know, you keep telling me that I have this issue, but I'm getting worse. So, you know, what is going on? What is really wrong with me? And at that time, I was a single mom of two kids. So I got so sick that they had to go with my sister. I couldn't take care of them because I was sick. And let's see. So in 2015, I was getting worse fast. My arms were going numb. I started twitching a little bit. Things were just going downhill very fast. And when I don't remember going to the hospital, I drove myself there, which is very scary. But I don't remember. That's what I mean. Like, the brain fog was so bad that I don't remember any of that. Mm-hmm. And angels carried my car there that day because I don't know how I got there. But my first memory is being in the ER and them spinal tapping me. And they said, you have meningitis. So they said the white blood cell count you have is the highest that we've seen. So I don't know if I got reinfected, you know, and then that blew everything up even more. I just don't know. Because like I said, I never had a tick or a bullseye that I know of. Right. That I know of.
And a lot of times we don't know, unfortunately.
Right, exactly. So they shipped me immediately to another hospital. I lived in the Baltimore area. So they shipped me to another hospital in the city in Baltimore. And by the time I got there in ambulance, my whole face had fell with bilateral Bell's palsy. So now I couldn't talk or anything. Wow. My whole face. And so now I'm in panic. I'm deathly sick. Now my whole, you know, I didn't know what was going on because, again, I think I just have lupus.
Right.
And so they rushed me in. They put me on a neuro floor now because of my face. And when I got to the neuro floor, my heart rate was only 40 beats a minute. So then they rushed me to ICU. And this is just what people have told me. I don't remember any of this.
Wow. Okay.
So then I was in ICU for about 10 days. I think it was like 10 days. And in ICU, when I came to, my dad was there. And I knew if he was there, it was bad. You know, it was scary. And so infectious disease came in and said, we need to find out what is killing you. Something's killing you. You know, this is not good.
Yeah.
And they had the meeting with my dad and my mom on the phone, you know, saying, we're not sure what this is, but something is bad. And so they spinal tapped me again. And then he came back, and that's the first time I heard the word Lyme.
Oh.
What? He said, she's full of Lyme disease.
So how did they draw that conclusion? I mean, what, just from the spinal tap?
I guess. That's all I had. Well, and I had tons of other tests, but that's what they said. I mean, I had MRIs and tons of blood work and... So I'm not sure exactly, but after the spinal tap is when they came in and had the meeting that said, oh, she's full of Lyme. Now, in my head, as sick as I was, I still had this thought because we haven't been taught, you know, how bad Lyme is. My head, I thought, okay, great. I can get some antibiotics.
Yes.
And that'll be fine. That's probably the best thing that it could be, you know? Oh boy, I had no idea what
beast
I had.
Little did we know.
I had no idea.
Wow. So it was the infectious disease doctors that it took them to get your diagnosis.
Yes, exactly. So then they started ceftriaxone in ICU. And then I was, like I said, I was there for about 9 or 10 days. Then I went down into the step down unit. Then when they went to get me up, I couldn't walk. So now I can't walk or talk. and my body was starting to convulse all the time. Like, it never stopped, just twitching and shaking, convulsing. And, you know, I was having the seizures in and out, not grandma, but just,
right,
just kind of, it was scary. So then they said that once I went to the step down unit, they said, well, we're going to send you to a high level rehab center, which, you know, they do like a, you know, high level, like gunshot victims and, you know, that type of thing, to see if we can get your legs to move. And it wasn't that I couldn't walk, because I couldn't walk. It was that I was so weak and I convulsed so bad that, you know, there was just no way that I could make work and make them work.
Right.
And like I said, and I couldn't talk because my whole face had fell. So, when I was there, so then I went to that high level and I was there for about 3 weeks. And then that's when they came to me and said, you're going to have to go to a nursing home because you can't take care of yourself.
Wow.
And that was it. And then I was sent to the nursing home and I was there for 22 months.
For 22 months?
22 months. And 22 months, almost 2 years.
And so,
yeah,
because they started, they recognized that it was Lyme. They started with the antibiotic treatment, and you mm-hmm. had no, and I would assume that they stopped the biologics for the lupus. Yeah. Cause
right.
Yeah. You don't want to suppress the immune system when you're trying to kill off an infection. That's not smart medicine.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did you, so these antibiotics didn't do anything for you then? I mean, it seemed like you were starting to convulse and all these type of things after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I stayed on the ceftriaxone even at the nursing home, and I was on that. And then, I was on 37 medications, but a lot of them were symptom medications, you know, just to help with convulsing and sleeping, you know. But at one time they had me on 37 medications and I was really just a vegetable. They'd get me up and take me to therapy and bring me back. Like I said, I had no clue what Lyme was or anything about it. Nobody knew about it. So I was really just scared to death because doctors come in and go, Lyme did this to you? Oh my gosh, well, what are we going to do? And I'm thinking, what are you going to do? I don't know, you're a doctor.
Right.
And by the grace of God, I came in, a year in, I started doing a little bit of research online, and I had joined a few Lyme groups online in the nursing home. And I just started asking questions and saying, this is what's going on with me, and I'm in a nursing home. What do I need to do? You know, I don't know what to ask for. I don't know how to get better, you know. And that's how I learned about the Lyme literate, go to a Lyme literate doctor.
Okay.
So about a year in, I did. And my dad came and got me at the nursing home. We went to the Lyme literate doctor in a wheelchair, couldn't walk, couldn't talk. And so then he started extensive treatment and did it through the nursing home. So then I was on Recephin and Flagyl, and I found out I had babesiosis. So then he started treating that as well. And then, so I did that for another probably, 6 to 8 months. And I did start coming around a little bit more. And I always explained it to people like a curtain. It was like my curtain was closed and it just slowly, slowly, slowly started opening. And as it was opening, I was reading and trying to figure out, what do I need to do? How can I help myself? I got, you know, I don't know what's going on. And so as I was learning, and then I went, like I said, to the Lyme literate doctor. I started learning, okay, well, somehow, some way, I've got to detox. Somehow, some way, I've got to you know, figure this stuff out. Now, and I was in a nursing home, so, you know, there's only, my hands were tied, you know, as far as those types of treatments, you know, they don't want you to do any of that, or they don't know about it, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I on Amazon, I ordered a foot detox. I had it mailed there, and I told them that it was an Epsom salt bath. And well, I detoxed my feet hiding in the nursing home, hiding. And I did that every day. And then everything had, I had the gastroparesis, so I hadn't gone to the bathroom by myself in that whole time, a year and a half, or that entire time. I had a catheter most of the time I was there because my bladder wasn't working either. So I was just desperate, truthfully, because I was better enough that I wasn't that vegetable state, but I was still so sick and desperate.
You couldn't talk for more than a year. You couldn't walk for more than a year. Couldn't poop for more than a year. Couldn't pee for more than a year. And I mean, I'm curious with gastroparesis, you know, a lot of people don't know what it is, but were you able to digest your food?
Well, they had me on mostly liquid, like fluid diet for a lot of that time. But if they did, then they would do an enema.
Yeah.
So it was a mess. But so in my desperateness, I had called my mom, and she would order gallons of Glacier Alkaline water. I only drank that. I drank 2 gallons of it. I was literally desperate. At this point, I could pull myself up a little bit, and I would go in the bathroom and give myself enemas every day by myself, hiding in the corner. Oh, but I was desperate. I was just desperate. Because I felt like if I'm going to die, at least let me die trying, you know?
Right. And it's really sad. I mean, I can hear it in your voice, how emotional that was for you. And I mean, I can completely relate, and I'm sure a lot of listeners out there right now are thinking the same thing. You know, it's really sad that so many of us have to be our own advocate. You know, not that they intentionally would have let you lay there and die, but they didn't know what to do for you. And so you had it enough of your mindset, okay, that you thought, I want to live. I got to fight this. And that's why you're here, because, you know, you were resilient and fought back against the unknown. And thank goodness for those Lyme support groups that were able to help give you some insight. Yeah.
Absolutely. As I would have had no idea, and they had no idea what to do. They didn't know. When I went to the Lyme literate doctor, he said, I've never really worked with a nursing home, so do I just send everything to them and they're just going to treat you? And I said, I guess so. But it was so unknown. Everything was so unknown that it just kind of, you know, flowed together. Thank God.
It speaks volumes with what you've gone through. How important it is that people gain the recognition of the impact of Lyme and the severity of Lyme. And like you're saying, Lyme did this? Yes, Lyme did this. I mean, Lyme is this bad. Lyme can do this. And it's not like some little acute infection that you take antibiotics for a little bit and then now you move on. It's something.
And that's what they
think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I'll start talking to them just randomly and something will come up and they're like, really? Lyme does that to you? It's just, if they even have heard about Lyme, they don't even really know the whole truth about what it can do to you. So,
oh my gosh. Yes. It's, I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. And even to this day, you know, what if somebody says, oh, well, why were you so sick? You know, and you say Lyme, and they still, you know, what? Are you sure? Maybe they didn't, you know, because people just don't know, and it's sad.
Yeah.
It is real. I remember laying in that nursing home and just, I said, why couldn't I have just had cancer? I wish this was cancer, because I would have been able to get the attention and the help, maybe. And I just remember thinking, why is it, do I have to have all this complex craziness and nobody knows what to do?
Yeah.
But
no, I said those same exact words. I said those same exact words was, if I had cancer and I was strolling around in the electric cart in the grocery store, people wouldn't look at me strange because I'd probably not have hair. But because I look normal, you know, nothing can really be wrong with me.
I did lose most of my hair also. I forgot that part. I did. I lost a lot of my hair as well.
So were you on antibiotics the whole time and that's what got you through, or did you ever go to herbals?
No, I was on, let's see. I didn't see the Lyme literate doctor till about almost a year into it, but the hospital had sent me with the ceftriaxone. So I had that for the first couple of months, and then I didn't have any antibiotics. And then until I got to the Lyme literate doctor, and then he put me on the Rocephin and the Flagyl. And then he was treating the babesiosis also.
And like you're saying, you're starting to see the curtain open kind of slowly. Mm-hmm. And was that, did you just stay on that treatment then until you got better?
Mm-hmm. And then I started refusing their meds. So they, you know, for this, I started refusing their meds. I started taking all tons of vitamins and supplements. I told you about the water. I only drank 2 gallons of the
alkaline water.
That water. I started refusing any type of food. I only did organic, like meal replacements, or if my mom could bring me in something good. Actually, believe it or not, there was like a juice bar that was like a block down. And so she would come like 3 times a week. And so she would always go and get me a large green fresh juice. So like 3 times a week, I would get that. So I, like I said, I was just desperate. I was desperate to get good things in me and detox the bad things. You know, I was anyhow, please just, you know, get it out. And do you know that I also did not have a period for over a year. So I didn't have a period. I didn't poop for over a year. But once I started detoxing and doing the enemas, I went to the bathroom for the first time by myself.
And I started my...
So that, and then I thought, okay, my body's turning on. Okay, things are starting to move. Maybe it's, you know, I'm starting to fight correctly. And I just kind of stayed on that regimen of put in good and push out bad, put in good, push out bad. And I just kept doing it. And then I started taking the colloidal silver also. Mm-hmm. I was just on that same regimen, in with good, out with bad. And I stayed on that, and the curtain just kept opening a little bit more, a little bit more. And that's pretty much what it's slow, and it takes a long, long, long time. And if I could tell anybody anything, I would just say, you know, this, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a take a pill and you get better, but you do.
Yes.
And even though there were days that I knew that I was going to wake up in heaven. I just knew I was not going to make it through the night. I knew it, and I didn't. And even though Lyme is horrific, that's the only word you can really say, there is light on the other side. There really is.
Oh, that's so powerful.
And I've told people before, if you could just go make it one day, even you can break it down to 1 hour or 1 minute or 1 second at a time. And if all you can do that day is breathe, then just do that. Lay there and breathe and get through that day. And then maybe the next day you'll fight a little bit more. But I think that's the hardest part too, because people are sick for so long and then the discouragement comes,
Yes. Yes. Very easily. And for you to not even be able to do this in your own home, you're in a nursing home for almost 2 years and, mm-hmm. Refusing their meds and trying to do your enemas in the bathroom and your foot baths. And you just are absolutely incredible. Your strength is just off the charts to be able to do something like that. It really is. Like, I'm so proud to even be talking to you right now, because you've been through so much and you made it through, and your story is so powerful. I can just imagine the listeners right now how much inspiration and hope you're giving to them. If they have that one bad day, just do what you can. Breathe.
Absolutely. Just breathe. If that's it, just breathe. Because those days that you feel like you have one foot in the coffin and one foot out, and you just know that it's, you're not going to make it, you just have to, like I said, just push to the next minute or the next hour, and just know that your body is a machine and it will give it what it needs, and it will fight for you.
And
I didn't think so either. I didn't. I really didn't. And especially when you're fighting the unknown, and it's so frustrating with Lyme because it is so unknown, and it's so hard to be your own advocate and your own doctor and be the patient the hot deathbed, and you're trying to, become a doctor overnight. and it's hard, but I didn't want to die.
No, you had children. You had two children. And also, what's so powerful? Yeah, what's so powerful is that here your body is portraying, it's betraying you. You're not able to walk, talk, poop, pee, and you can't eat real food. And so your body is betraying you, but still you're recognizing the healing power of the body and how resilient it is if you give it the appropriate things. And like you're saying, out with the bad, in with the good, and then recognizing that the body is the willingness to heal, the willingness to be well, if you give it the tools to do that. And that's amazing. I'm curious, how did you choose what kind of, you said you took vitamins. I assume it was not just take vitamins to take vitamins, that you were purposeful in what kind of vitamins you were taking. And how did you choose that?
Let's see. So I didn't really know what I was doing on that path either. I just knew that people in the Lyme groups were kind of telling me and guiding me through that. So I was doing high C, I was doing B, and then I did a strong multivitamin supplements. I did the RNA sprays. So it had the silver, the glutathione, and it had the detox spray, and then the brain support. I didn't even say this part. Once they did the scans and everything in my brain, I had 12 lesions on my brain. So then it went to, well, maybe it's MS. No. But it was just that it was Lyme, and by the grace of God, I'm here, and that's really, and I have two children, and my mom, I'll never forget, she came, she lived in Florida at this time that all this was going on, and she moved back, and I remember her coming in there and saying, you have two children, and they're watching this, so you need to give it all you have, you know, we're going to get through this and we're going to fight, but they're watching this. And I just kept telling myself that every day. And I had speech therapy because of the Bell's palsy. And so she would give me exercises, you know, to do all of the time. And I would do those exercises day and night. I just wanted to come back so bad. And I was so frustrated, like I said, because I'm trying to be a doctor and the patient at the same time. Oh. But it can be done.
It can be. You're proof of that right now. And your children, you know, that's what you fought for. And I'm sure that they just think they have the best mother in the world. You truly are just
inspirational. Yeah. I mean, you're such a warrior. I mean, I can't. Yeah, I concur with Tanya. I mean, the listeners must just be at awe.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you joined the Lyme groups, and you're just listening to other Lyme patients that are just right. trying to figure out their own way and navigate through their journey, and them sharing information, and you just pick pieces to do. And you know, that's why we're doing this, is because maybe somebody out there right now is in a nursing home and listening, and they don't even know they have Lyme.
Exactly.
It sparks something in them. So it's so important for us. You know, I think once you have Lyme and go through that journey, you kind of are, we're just all in that village together. You know, we just want to continue to fight and help and advocate for those that are too sick to do it themselves.
I know. I went to DC the first year that I was in remission. So 2017, I think. Yes, 2017, I went to DC to the rally to fight.
The fly-in.
The
Center for Action fly-in in Washington, DC. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I was part of that for the first time this year. Via Zoom. Yeah.
Great. And the sad thing is we can't get the numbers out there because everybody's so sick.
Right.
You know, it's frustrating.
They're depending on you and me and all the other ones that have conquered Lyme to continue to.
Yes, I will lead the way.
That's right.
Wow. Well, Quinn, it's such an incredible story. I'm so thankful for you willing to share. And giving inspiration and giving hope to people so that they know that even though you're in this position where you're completely helpless, powerless, you still have power somewhere, and that power can grow and grow and grow until all of a sudden you're back. You are. I mean,
yes.
Right now you look gorgeous. You have long, beautiful hair, and there's no question that you can talk. You're beautiful.
Yes, there's I have a picture on my Facebook of when I got to the nursing home and then now, and it's hard for me to even believe that that's me.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it, you know, with the Bell's palsy, and I didn't even know what that was, or, you know, you don't know any of this stuff. We're kind of just taught that Lyme is just an acute little, you know, take a few antibiotics, you'll be fine. And that is not it at all. And it's, so we need education, and we need real testing, and we need real treatment. And
you said it all right there. Yes, that's exactly what we need. And we're going to continue to fight for that.
Yeah.
And continue to go into Washington every year and tell Congress we need all that money for Lyme research because we do. We absolutely
we do. Yes, we do. We absolutely do.
Well, I see you and myself kind of getting together and just going on this journey of advocating for others. So I'm looking forward to creating a lot of good memories with you in helping other Lyme patients.
Yes, I actually laying in the bed of the nursing home, I promised God, I said, please make me, if I get the other side and you save me and I can walk and I can talk, I promise I will do my part. I will fight for people. I will take care of people. I will do your work, please. Yeah. And I actually now I do not a lot of stuff for the Lyme, but I go out in the city and I try to help people, you know, that need and just try to do my part because I did make it to the other side. Yeah, so
God was there for you.
I had my last rites read twice where they called in my family two nights that they didn't think I was going to make it through the night. So yeah, it's a true blessing that I'm here and I recognize it and I know it. And I just want to do my part.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. Well, you certainly did today. I'm just, that probably is truly one of probably the most inspiring stories I've heard.
Yeah.
I always tell people if you've beat Lyme, you're one of the strongest people I know. And so you just superseded all of that. So thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. And it's so amazing to hear your voice and that you're on this path to good health. And that you're going to continue to fight for this Lyme community.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Gwen. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
You have a good night.
You as well. Bye-bye.
If anybody who needs or has questions, you can reach out to me. I'm open book.
We love it.
I love it. Thank you so much, Gwen. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.